This podcast is intended for mature audiences.
It also contains two British people talking about sex.
Okay, I need to pop you out and put you in the right place.
Okay.
I like how easily you just take to that.
Yeah. Sure. Sounds like a thing I do.
I mean, I was expecting some sort of witty comeback because that was going to be the pre-roll.
Oh.
Hello. Hello and welcome to Teabags and Joysticks, the kinky video game podcast.
Hello, I'm Chris.
And I'm Cy. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Just enjoying
I'm
the weekend.
I'm dying. It's too hot. I'm dying.
It's too...
If you hear fan noise on the recording, I apologise, but it's too warm. I can't turn it off today.
It has been warm, but, you know, it's not that warm.
I wouldn't mind, but we had thunderstorms earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, we're being too British about this.
Oh, yeah, we're talking about the weather again. What a surprise.
I know, right? What's the tea, Chris?
We're recording this a bit late in the day, aren't we?
Okay. I know what's coming. Yes, okay.
Just like, you know, when we said we were recording and we agreed it at 8 and you didn't give me any notice that we weren't.
Look. It's not late, it's gay on time. As a friend of ours once put it, it's not late, it's gay on time.
No.
No. Yeah,
an hour late is late.
No, an hour late is gay on time. I may have had food and kind of slipped into a slight food coma as I watched TV, okay?
Yeah, I was having food.
It's not my fault your food wasn't good enough to induce a food coma.
Well, okay. I did have a veggie today, so. A veggie curry.
I used to do veggie days, and then I decided I didn't hate myself enough.
Oh, God. Okay, how many people have we offended today?
Probably all of them at this point. No, to be fair, like, just on the veggie thing, like, I actually do enjoy having a vegetarian day now and again, just I'm not doing it at the moment, and I should probably go back to it.
Yeah, never mind.
But yeah,
not really a serious tea, but, you know, tea nonetheless.
It's like, how do you know there's not been much drama in a week?
Exactly. Yeah. It's just quiet. Not a lot going on. What's your tea?
So I've had a bit of a weird experience this week.
Right, so tell. Please tell.
So, in the UK, when you do your prep, or at least where I am when you do prep, and for those that don't know, prep is pre-exposure prophylaxis. It's a course of HIV medication that you can take as a pre-exposure, like prevention.
Yes.
Which we're going to do an episode on at some point, but we're still trying to work out the exact like way that we want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But they ring you up after about a month and go, you know, how are you doing? Are you getting on with it fine? They check if there's been any changes that they need to like just adjust things with, etc.
I don't get that call. What? Okay, never mind.
Okay, well, where I am, that's what they like to do, like a 1 month follow-up. And because I stopped it during the pandemic, they're treating me as if I've started afresh.
Right, okay.
The nurse who I was talking to asked me about the podcast. Which is like, it's one of those weird things where it's like, this is bleeding over into real life.
How did they know about that?
So when I was at my appointment to pick up my prep, I was asking them if there's any good resources that they could point me towards because we're trying to plan the prep episode. They must have made a note of it somewhere. So... if you're listening, like, hi, you're famous now, I guess?
Well,
It was actually really cool. Like, it was really cool. Like, the nurse was like really sort of chill with it. It's just like, oh, what's it about? It's like, oh, Kinky Games, a video contest. Oh, that's an interesting combination. It's like, yeah, it's... So, yeah, it's that's my tea this week. It's just like, sometimes things crop up when you don't expect them.
That they do.
So what's the bag today, Chris?
Bag today, we are, well, we're using the list. So what were we doing? We were doing...
Ooh, the list. We have brought back the list. It's the list.
We are doing what?
I don't know what I'm doing right now.
Kinks and characters mix and match?
Kinks and characters mix and match. So, I think what we agreed to do this time, so anyone who's listened to the show for a while knows that we have a list that we go back to now and again in order to do various silly little things. So we, for those that haven't joined us before, because we are on a new series and a few people have recently discovered us through Kinky Boys and through Wasp Hunter, etc., we have a list of video game and pop culture characters.
Yep.
And we have a list of kink and kink scenarios. Okay. And what the list does is the list will give us three of each. And then whenever we come into this, we decide different things that we're going to do. So we've done Shag, Marry, Kill. We've done, like, linking these things up before. Today's is a match three. So we will be given three characters, and we will be given three kinks.
Mm-hmm.
And we will each be given different sets of these as we go. And the person who receives them, it is their task to match the kinks to the characters and explain why.
Yeah, I mean, I'd best write these down as you give them to me, you know.
It would be a good idea to take notes as we go, maybe.
Yeah.
If nothing else, but for the callback. So, do you want to go first, Chris?
Okay, I will go first.
Okay, so your characters are Spider-Man.
Okay.
GLaDOS. And Loki.
Oh dear. I don't want GLaDOS to do anything to me.
And your kinks are a daddy son scene, a cook holding scene, with a character of your choice but must be related, is what I'm going to say.
Okay.
As in, same franchise related. Doesn't necessarily have to be, like, you know. And your third kink is going to be suspension bondage.
Okay. Well, I mean, suspension is clearly Spider-Man.
Okay.
I mean, he's got his webs and everything. I mean,
yeah. No, that's fine, but the thing that's occurring to me is, like, you've got the god of mischief.
Yes.
And you have a psychopathic testing robot.
True.
Are you sure you want to give the suspension bondage to Spider-Man? Because that puts you in a situation where you can't move with the god of mischief and a murderous robot.
I mean, what are we doing all those at the same time?
No, like you have to do the three scenes sort of thing. Like, you have to imagine you're doing the scene with that person.
Yeah. In which case, I will have already done the suspension and he would have let me out, right?
Maybe.
Because otherwise we're doing all three of them, like, basically in the same scene.
The rules, like, the timeline are not hard and fast, okay? What? This isn't the sacred timeline.
No.
You have three branching paths before you.
Also, I don't have to do the suspension first.
So you're doing suspension with Spider-Man, yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Go on.
I mean, a cook holding with GLaDOS would be probably okay.
But who would who would you be cook holding with?
Yeah, that is the companion cube.
Wait. Wow. Is the companion cube a character?
Well, that's debatable.
I mean, there is actually kind of an argument that canonically they are because of the Rat Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, arguably. Fine. I'll give you that one. I'm not sure you want to know where the companion cube's going to end up going, but sure, I'll give you that one.
So, which ends up with Daddy-san with Loki.
Ooh, which way round would that be, though?
Hmm.
Would you be the daddy or the son?
Depending on which Loki I get. Like, do I get Richard E. Grant, in which case he's daddy?
No, I'm going to say that you get politician Loki.
Oh. Okay. No, I still... in which case, I want to be the daddy.
Fair enough.
I don't trust...
Like, but the thing is, politics. You know that he's a bratty son.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't doubt that.
Fair enough.
Okay. I don't doubt that, but I trust... I prefer bratty son more than a... What's the word I was looking for?
I have no idea.
Neglectful daddy.
Fair enough. Okay, no, then do you want to roll mine?
I will roll yours. Okay. Right, so your three characters are Ditto. Yeah.
Okay. That could be interesting.
Yeah. Geralt from The Witcher.
Ooh, okay.
And Banjo from Banjo-Kazooie.
Okay, so I have a shapeshifter, a daddy, and a literal bear.
Yeah.
Okay. Go on. What are my options?
Your options are doing a kidnap fantasy scene.
Okay.
Being strapped down on a bondage table.
Right.
And throat fucking. Being on the receiving end.
Ooh. Okay. Ooh. Ooh, that's an interesting set of choices. So, kidnapping, throat fucking, and what was the other one, sorry?
A bondage table.
Huh.
Bear in mind, Ditto basically turns into you. Because the Ditto turns into whatever in front of him.
Yeah, which is going to be... So here's the thing. That means that I have to do the kidnapping scene with Ditto.
Why?
Because if I do a kidnapping scene with Ditto, it doesn't necessarily have to end in me fucking myself. Because I'm not that nepotistic. You know?
Is that the word you mean, nepotistic?
Yeah. Nepotism, in love with myself.
No.
No, narcissistic. That's the one I mean. Okay, I don't word well, okay? It's not like it's a skill I need to host a podcast. Okay, so if I have to do the... Because I'm not that... I'm not fucking myself, okay?
All right.
So I have to do the kidnap scene with Ditto. Because there's a way to not do that. So then that leaves me with a bondage table.
Being on a bondage table doesn't necessarily involve fucking.
True. This is very true. But I've already locked that in, so we're just going to go with it.
All right, okay, go with it.
So that means that I do bondage table or throat fucking. I'm going to have to do the bondage table with Banjo.
All right, do tell.
And this actually makes sense if you think about it, because, and I can justify this, Banjo is always Banjo and Kazooie. How is he keeping Kazooie on his back, etc., in that backpack? There's something going on there. He must have tied him down. That's going to be that's going to be my justification for the bondage table, because Banjo already does bondage.
No.
I don't know how it works exactly, but that's now canon. which
sure,
means
if
that,
you say so.
Which means that I get a throat fucking from Daddy Gerald, and I'm okay with that. Like,
yeah, I mean,
I'm good
yeah,
with that.
No one's going to complain about that.
Exactly.
Sure. All right.
Okay, so re-rolling for yourself then. You get... Oh, this is interesting. You get Toad, McCree from Overwatch, and Wolverine.
Okay.
And your options are Muscle Worship.
Right.
Wax Play. And a double penetration scene with any other character from each respective franchise.
Wow. Okay, I'm not that familiar with Overwatch, so I need to look at like what the other characters are there. All right, okay, so I've had a brief look into Overwatch characters, only going by all the looks. That's all I could do.
To be fair, yeah, you don't have the time like to pick out all the personalities. Go on.
No, not really. So let's start with Muscle Worship. I would go with Wolverine.
Okay, yeah. I can understand why.
Exactly, right?
Yeah.
I don't really need to say that much about it. I would do double penetration probably with McCree.
For a moment, I thought you were going to say Toad.
No. Nah. Nah.
So who would you do it with? That's the question.
Okay, I am looking at this guy, Hanzo, I would go with, probably.
Okay, that's a choice.
Is it though?
I mean...
Who would you?
Who would I do it with?
Yeah.
I don't know, to be honest. Just...
What's wrong with Hanzo?
Huh?
What's wrong with Hanzo?
There's nothing wrong with Hanzo at all. Just so here's the thing. When I used to play Overwatch, I used to hate Hanzo mains. Because they were the bane of my existence. And although fair it's enough. Actually a fair choice, because their special like goes through walls and anything and everything and can like literally double penetrate targets. So that's a fair choice. Like
if I know.
Exactly, like a completely unintentional one, but a fair choice. So that's fair. So that leaves you doing what? Wax Play with Toad?
Wax Play with Toad, which is fine. Like Wax Play, you can do that with anyone. It's just wax stripping on you.
But I've just got this vision of Toad above you, dripping the wax on you, and as it hits you, going, "Hello! You like that?"
I don't know, like you can get some candles and shit from, like, I don't know, Bowser's castle or something.
Whoa, kinky!
Yeah.
Oh, I might have to go and get our friend who does our... Like some of our voiceover work sometimes to just do some Toad voice. Yeah. Doing that. That's going to be something I try and put on the soundboard.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Okay. All right. That's me then, in which case.
Go on. Hit me. Hit me, Daddy. Harder. I'm going to regret saying that.
You have got a simple bareback sex.
Okay.
Okay. Scent Play.
Right, okay.
And inflation. What do I mean by inflation?
Ooh, okay. So, what kind of inflation? Cumflation? Airflation? Like, just general body inflation?
What do I mean by inflation?
No, I'm asking you which kind it is.
I don't know.
So what kind are we talking about?
Probably conflation, right?
Okay. So for our listeners that aren't familiar, this is a fantasy kink that involves the top coming into the bottom so much that they begin to bulge and inflate because of the amount of cum.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So which are my characters?
Your characters are Cuphead.
Okay. This is already going to be an interesting one. Go on.
Tony Stark.
Right.
I think it's just Tony Stark, not Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
And Natalie Chedenko from Red Alerts, who's the...
Tim Wait, Curry. Is he the space guy?
He is the space
guy. Oh, the Zaf from Red Alerts. Okay. Wait, it's Tim Curry.
Yes.
Honestly, yes. One of Tim Curry's best roles.
Commander, you've rained on my glorious parade.
Which, I'm sorry, Tim. I know that might potentially be a slight insult because it's like you've done all sorts of really wonderful stuff, like big fan, but there's something about that role that just like I love that I love the campness of that game.
So I've
what are my options again? I've got barebacking, I've got conflation.
And scent.
Okay. Okay. Scent play has to be Cuphead. Because who doesn't love the smell of a good cup of coffee?
Is that a cup of coffee or is it a cup of tea?
Either way, I'm happy. Plus,
yeah,
okay. I kind of feel awkward saying about doing either of the other two with that character because it just doesn't track in my head.
No, fair point. Yeah.
So that leaves me Iron Man or coffee. The Russian commander.
Which... Space!
You've got bareback and conflation.
Mm.
Bareback sex. I mean, either way, so they're gonna.
I'm going to justify this entirely in universe.
Right.
Okay? Conflation is the Russian commander. The Russian Tsar, sorry.
Sure.
And the reason for this is, of all the weird and bizarre shit in Red Alert and Red Alert 2, it wouldn't seem out of place. We're talking about a game that had literal mind control, time traveling, the destruction of Einstein, and ultimately sends, like, spoilers, I guess, but ultimately sends one of its main bad guys back into the prehistoric era. Like, yeah. Of all the weird things that would end up somewhere, that's going to end up in that game. And barebacking with Tony Stark makes sense because it's Tony fucking Stark. Of course it is.
Yeah. I mean... Can't argue with that. I mean, also, you know, conflation, you know, you'll get blown up and then, you know, they're going to space.
It's like they can use me as a cur of airship at that point,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, they're going to space, so, yeah.
Okay, shall we do one more each?
Yeah.
So, your final one will be, and I'm going to, like, roll it a few times. Your final one will be... Oh, this is almost as British as it can get.
Right.
Oh, this is rather brilliant. So, okay. It doesn't start out too bad, okay? Your first character is Snake from Metal Gear.
Okay.
Your second character is the Doctor from Doctor Who.
Okay. Any particular doctor?
Let's go with Peter Capaldi.
Okay. Could Capaldi.
Because he's a very underrated Doctor.
Yeah.
And your final character is Her Majesty the Queen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're entering the realm of treason.
Oh my god. Yeah. Oh
god. You see why this is going to be a very British affair.
Mm, I'm going to have my citizenship removed.
By command of Her Majesty, you have to choose from suspension bondage.
Again?
Okay. It seems appropriate considering some of the characters we have. Human furniture use. So, dehumanization being used as furniture.
Yeah.
And... okay, we're going to go with this one, but I'm going to have to draw the third character because of the way this is... No, actually, you know what? No, I'm not. A soggy biscuit scene...
Oh, God.
...involving two other characters or linked people.
Right, okay. So if it was the Queen, it would be like...
Someone from the royal family.
Yeah.
Oh, I will give you a little bit of leniency with Snake and say that you can include Smash Brothers Melee if that's where you go with that one. Okay? Because the Metal Gear franchise is big and there's a few characters there, but it's also not necessarily both of our wheelhouses, so
no,
I'll give you a little bit of wiggle room that. With that character.
Yeah, that is true.
The rest, there's plenty that you can go at. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is where we play the game. How does Chris lose his citizenship?
I mean, I do human furniture for the Queen.
Sure. To be fair, that's probably the safest option.
That's probably is, yeah.
Although I've just got visions of Her Majesty going, Chris, I need a table. Me a dear. Yeah. Charles just walks in and is just like, how come he gets to do that and I'm still waiting?
Oh.
Oh, I love it. This has already got weird.
Oh god. So I'm left with suspension and soggy biscuits.
I'm kind of disappointed you didn't do the soggy biscuit with the
I mean... But the
just because I would have
yes,
lost.
But... but come on.
So let's go with the suspension bondage first. Who are you doing that with? Your options are Snake or Peter Capaldi's Doctor.
I am thinking Peter Capaldi's Doctor.
Okay.
I am leaning towards that.
Any particular reason?
Although, yeah, it's difficult to justify either way, I feel like. I mean, I just think he's got a lot of room in the TARDIS.
You think there's a bondage room somewhere in there?
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, he's got everything else, so why not? There's literal TARDIS mountains just... in there, so yeah, sure, that makes sense.
Yeah. TARDIS can just make up rooms to do these things.
The other thing I'm thinking is, Doctor Who moves through the entirety of time and space. He's got some interesting equipment in that room.
Oh, yeah.
So that leaves you doing a soggy biscuit scene with Snake.
Yeah.
But you have to choose two of the characters that are also doing this soggy biscuit competition with you and Snake.
Yeah.
So who do you choose?
There are a lot to choose from, to be fair.
No, I didn't say there was. I was just thinking, like, by giving you a little bit of flexibility with that character, I figured it may help.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if it ends up being Smash Brothers, I would choose Mega Man.
Okay. Interesting choice.
Yeah.
And who else?
And I could just choose Ken, the Street Fighter, right?
Yeah, he's a melee character, sure.
Yeah.
Although I'm kind of disappointed you didn't choose Captain Falcon. Do you think when he finishes, it's like, Falcon! Go on then, roll me my last one.
I will. Okay. So your characters are Bowser.
Ooh, okay.
An Among Us crewmate.
Right.
And Link.
Okay, this is going to be interesting. Wait, which version of Link? Young Link, Toon Link, Breath of the Wild Link, Normal Link?
No, just do Breath of the Wild
Link. Breath of the Wild Link, okay.
Your scenarios, your kinks are sounding.
Okay.
Body swap.
Ooh, okay.
And an interrogation scene.
Which side of the interrogation am I on? Am I the suspect or am I in the interrogator? It's important.
Fair point. Let's do something different. Yeah, let's have you being the interrogator.
Yahoo! Okay. So, sounding, interrogation, or a body swap?
Yep.
So, I am going to go with... Wait, hold on. What side of sounding am I on? Because this could go very wrong for me.
Both you're switching? I don't know.
Damn it. Okay. Because I was going to put Bowser on sounding and that's not a good idea. Oh, God damn it. That messes me up now. Okay. So, I am going to do the interrogation scene with Bowser.
Okay. Right.
Because that's the only one that I can't see ending really painfully for me. I'm going to do the body swap with the Among Us crewmate.
Oh, right, that makes sense.
Because that way I know if they're sus or not.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
Bit of fun on the way, and I know if they're sus or not. Because who doesn't like having sex with a suspect alien? Which leaves me...
Having done the body swap also means they won't kill you. Otherwise, they kill themselves.
Exactly. It's guaranteed. It's mutually assured destruction.
Yeah.
Which means that I end up doing sounding with Link, which scares me a little, because as we've pointed out before, where the hell is he keeping everything? That's the only way these scenarios go down in a way that doesn't end badly for me, because I am not doing sounding with Bowser. Full stop. And if I do it with the Among Us, it basically just means that I'm getting airlocked.
Yeah.
So I'm either getting killed or airlocked if I do it with the Among Us. So, yeah. That's how that one has to go down, I think.
Okay. Fair point.
So, what's on your joystick, Chris?
Hades. I just mean playing Hades. Kind of.
How have you found it?
It's really hard. But then...
It's deceptive, right?
You already knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah, going into that game, you already knew it was really hard.
But I do love that style of game, and I feel like Hades has been the one that's kind of... cracked the code sort of thing.
I don't always play that kind of like super difficult games. Like, if you give me something, like, very punishing, like, I don't know, Dark Souls or something, I'm like, nah, I'm all right.
No, I get that. I'm not the biggest fan of Dark Souls. Like, I don't mind Dark Souls, but I'm not the biggest fan of it. But Hades is kind of... I feel like Hades is to that genre what FTL is to that kind of roguelike equivalent of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's really nailed the mechanics so well that it's just got something that keeps drawing you back to it.
Yeah, it's not just that.
I think it's one of those games that after you've put it down for a while, you'll come back to it and just pick up right where you left off.
Fair point. It's not just that, is it? Like, all the dialogue is really, really smart.
Yeah.
Like, if I... got to that area for the first time and then I died and then I come back and then all the characters would kind of mention, oh, you got to that bit last time, like,
And then Hades is just sat there just like, really, boy?
Yeah.
Everyone needs a disapproving daddy figure in their life like Hades.
Yeah, thanks, Dad. I kept shouting. when I play, I kept shouting, Dad, don't do that.
Yeah, because you did that the other night, and I'm like, wait, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But you're talking to your dad right now? He's like, no, I'm just playing Hades. He's like, okay.
But yeah.
No, I enjoy that game.
Yeah, that is Hades. I'm still playing it. Next time you hear an episode, I'm probably still going to be playing Hades and I will still have not beaten the game.
I'm going to say to you, like, I think... So, I love the game on Xbox, but I think that's one of those games that's best suited to the Switch just for the portability, to be able to pick it up and put it down.
Mm.
That's my opinion. To each their own. Although, like, I've been playing the Xbox version. The Xbox version's great.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, you can play the Xbox version just streaming anyway. But then...
Well, that's true.
Hades, you kind of need a quick response time, and streaming is probably not the best idea. Anyway, what's on your joystick?
So, because of how kind of crazy this last week's been, I haven't had a chance to play that much.
No, that's fair.
So, I'm going to kind of... Like, I'll tell you what I've been playing, but it's not kind of where I want my joystick to go, because I kind of want to reminisce just a little bit.
Okay.
So I've been playing something called... Okay, I'm going to end up butchering the pronunciation. It's either Lumines or Lumines. I'm not sure which. It's Lumines.
Is it...
Is it anything... Say again?
Because that word, Lumines, sounds like luminaires, but, well, obviously it isn't. Is it something to do with lights or something?
Yeah, so I think that's where it comes from, but I'm not quite sure what the naming convention is behind it.
Mm.
I should probably have looked it up before we started talking. but either way, like, I spelt it out and said, like, we've said three different ways of saying it, so one of them is right. but it's kind of like, it's a bit of an old school game that's just arrived on... Well, I say just arrived. I've just noticed it on Xbox Game Pass.
Fair enough.
And the reason I started playing it is because I remember that game back in the PSP days.
Yeah.
And so, like, there's a bit of a nostalgia thing for me there, and it's a fairly standard sort of, like, block-clearing game. It's kind of think Tetris mixed with a little bit of a rhythm game. Really great soundtrack. Okay. But the thing is, like, it kind of got me nostalgic for... like old PSP games and that kind of, I guess, era of games.
Fair. Okay.
Yeah. Because we're talking kind of, what, mid to late 2000s here.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of experimental games back then. And I don't know quite what it was about that period. I don't know if it was just kind of where... video games was kind of transitioning from, like, the 2D to the 3D, and everyone's kind of messing around seeing what probably. They can do. But then, like, there were just some weird games where they were taking, like, established genres and established games and going, what's the weirdest thing we can do with this right now? And the one that I've been kind of craving, like, the nostalgia hit on, if anyone remembers this, I'll kind of be impressed, is a game called Metal Gear Acid. And there was a sequel to it as well. Okay. So you know your standard Metal Gear game, right?
I know a Metal Gear game, yeah.
So, you know, you're the single operative, fight all the bad guys, kill the big mech robot, there's a world-destroying plot, and blah-de-blah-de-blah. Like.
Uh-huh.
Not disparaging it, just the plot of Metal Gear is the plot of Metal Gear.
Yeah.
So, Metal Gear Acid turned it into a deck-building game. Right. So you would have something akin to, like, I don't know the exact size, because obviously it's been years since I played it, but, like, you'd have something like a 10x10, 15x15 grid, right?
Okay.
And it's, if you remember Metal Gear Solid, like, think, like, the Shadow Moses outside area, and, like, you've got all these levels and all these kind of buildings you can move through and everything else. But everything is grid-based. And in order to move through, you draw your cards. Okay, and your card might be, okay, you can move three steps.
Yeah.
Or three squares sort of thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes something in the environment may mean you extend that, or it might mean you don't. Or you might draw the cardboard box and be able to kind of hide in plain sight type of thing, you know?
Okay.
And it was one of those games that, like, I loved that game. And it the sequel also had, like, rudimentary VR. Before all of your Oculus things and all of the your PlayStation VR and everything else, the sequel, if you bought the right version, came with this little cardboard construct thing that you slipped over the PSP, and it had two lenses in. And if you held it up to your face and moved around, then what you were seeing would move around, and it like the lenses were done in such a way it was 3D.
Okay. So it was kind
and it's like I kind of miss that experimental period of gaming.
Yeah, I feel like that was the kind of period when, you know, there started to be some serious money into video games. I think it's to do with money, to be honest. Like, it started to get some serious money. But at the same time, it wasn't the, like, mega machine that it is now.
I think you're right. I think a little bit of it as well is, like, they kind of had this weird transition, because you had your Nintendos and your Genesis and everything where everything's 2D sprites and everything's, like, fairly thing. And then they moved over to 3D, and you had, like, your early 3D games with the PlayStation and everything.
Yeah.
They're, you know, really good games, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Still hold the test of time, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then people started taking it a lot more seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
But with that came the experimentation and the fresh ideas, because you were bringing so many new people in. And this is before, like, while I said, like, you had Metal Gear and as an established franchise, you didn't have this big AAA culture that we have now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You didn't have, like, every studio had its mascot, but you didn't have this is all they ever do.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, I miss those days a little bit.
Yeah,
and I guess it's one of the reasons why I quite like indie games now.
I can see that. Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess, like, can I turn my joystick into a little bit of an industry tea and go, like, we need to bring that sort of weird shit back? You know?
Yeah. I mean, the Metal Gear.
I mean, let's take Gears of War and turn it into a, I don't know, a side-scrolling Mario-like, but with a hack and slash, you know?
The thing is, I don't know. Any time that they have a spin-off, like, people will roll their eyes.
Yeah, I agree, but the problem is, the reason people roll their eyes is because when they do spin-offs like the Funko Pop shit.
Yeah.
That's just like the run-of-the-mill generic mobile game that everyone is sick of.
Yeah,
the wonderful thing about games like Metal Gear Acid is you're looking at these two kinds of games going, there's no way this is going to work.
Mm.
And then they pull out... Honestly, I think that game was one of the most underrated titles in the Metal Gear series. it's one of those, like, there was just something quirky about it that I absolutely loved. Like, we need to bring more of that thing back, you know? What they need is an equivalent of the TBJ list, where it's like, here is a bunch of genres and here is a bunch of IPs.
Oh god.
Like, hit the randomizer and, like, you have to make a I don't know, because my brain's throwing a Dark Souls like Halo, you know? I can't think of anything worse, actually, but, like, that kind of thing. And the thing is, like...
Going for, like a business management...
Yeah.
Type.
Give me a business management game set in the middle of the Gears of War universe. Because it's not just like Recession Simulator. It's like you have to steer your failing shop to ensure that you don't go bankrupt in the middle of a locust horde invasion.
Yeah.
You know, how are you going to keep the doors open when your suppliers can't get through because they've been eaten by the locust queen?
To be fair, there have been a few like unexpected titles. Like, even recently, I would still say Mario and Rabbids. That's quite unexpected.
Mm-hmm. No, I'll give you that one. Yep. Yeah, but that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. And it's weird, actually, because Nintendo seem to be doing this still.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. Like, I don't mean that as a bad thing. It's just, like, Nintendo have... always kind of been the black sheep of gaming since the new generations came out. Like, since the SNES lost its popularity, they've always kind of been one step behind. Mm-hmm. But in this respect, they seem to be a bit more open to it. But at the same time, it's also weird because Nintendo are weirdly stuck in their ways with other things.
Yeah, you know? I know.
Because I'll be honest, I still look at Nintendo Rabbids battle thing and go, how the hell did one, Nintendo agree to give Mario to somebody else because this is Nintendo? Mm-hmm. And two, who the hell looked at Mario and went, you know what we need? We need an XCOM-like. And we need to combine it with the most irritating characters to have ever come out of Ubisoft. And somehow it endears you to them.
Yeah, that's an odd one.
So. That's the only game I can stand the rabbits in. But anyway, I'm running on. I apologise. So, before we close out, should we do a 5-minute Marvel? Because it's been a few weeks.
It's been a lot, hasn't it?
Before we get into this, I guess...
Okay.
Spoilers? Everywhere? Well,
yeah.
if you haven't caught up with the MCU for the last 3-4 weeks, run. Run now. Skip forward about 6 minutes.
From now.
So, okay. Where were we starting? With What If or Shang-Chi?
Yes, let's start with Shang-Chi. That's the biggest thing that's come up.
Holy crap. That movie's so good.
That movie is good.
I want to go and see that movie again. I'm going to go and see that movie again.
Fair enough. I have seen that movie again.
So we went and saw it opening night in the UK.
Yep.
Biggest takeaway from that movie for you?
It's Hotel California.
No, I grant you, that is funny. I love the fact that they actually did the callback to that as well.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to be a little bit vague, just in case somebody's still listening, and like trying not to spoil too much. I mean, biggest takeaway from that movie is the obvious, like, dear Simu Liu, please, sir. But also, like, that movie, like, was so good. There were so many cultural callbacks that I loved in that movie. Like, things like the Temple Dragons, things like the spirits, they would call back so many of the Marvel kind of history of that character that was kind of weird and obscure.
Mm.
Call back so much sort of East and Southeast Asian culture into it. And then, like, just really well-told story.
Yeah.
There was one thing I didn't like, which, you know, heavy spoiler alert if you are still listening, I really didn't like that they brought back, quote-unquote, the Mandarin.
Oh, I don't mind Trevor. I think it was funny.
It was funny, yeah, but I felt like it was weirdly paced. Because, like, they had a really nice bit of momentum, and then all of a sudden Trevor Slattery appears, and it's just like, the movie comes screeching to a halt as it hits this brick wall of, like, Ben Kingsley honestly being wasted. And it's just like, I don't know. I get why they did the callback. They couldn't do Shang-Chi and not actually acknowledge
they'd
messed up the Mandarin.
They couldn't have done the Mandarin without the fake Mandarin.
You know. I just feel like there was a better way to do it. Like, roll him out as, like, a tea caddy service at some point, you know? Have him bring out the dinner and the bow, you know? There's a way to do it and show that he's been, like, taken and that the Mandarin was aware of him type of thing, you know?
You know, I disagree. I that is the bit of a movie I didn't really mind that much.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. I'll tell you what did surprise me. It surprised, and I guess it shouldn't have, but it surprised me how much Mandarin was in that movie.
The language, that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, there was a lot of the Mandarin character. Yeah.
But no, I was expecting there to be Mandarin Chinese in the movie. I wasn't expecting them to be as heavy and forward, like, fronting with it as they were.
Yeah, it was like...
And this is by no means a complaint.
Like, almost 30%, probably, of the movie. Something up to 30% like of the movie was in Mandarin. That was ridiculous.
But it works. It was
it's fine. It's fine. I don't think anyone was complaining about it.
Not at all. And it was kind of fascinating for me, as someone who speaks a little bit of Mandarin, to have the complete brain fuck that was, like, transferring quickly back and forth between Mandarin and English, because I haven't done that in a long time. I feel that... So something I'm going to say to people, that if you don't speak Mandarin, is... When it comes out that you can watch it fully again, and like all people have done transcript, just go and look up the Mandarin and how it translates and some of the meaning behind some of it, because the way the Mandarin is written, because the Mandarin is written really, really well, there are some things that get lost in translation.
Yes,
not
and
big
no.
things, just things like honorifics and things that show you different elements of the relationships.
Yeah, there was one thing that was weird, and in the family scene, like right at the beginning, they never translated the word waipo and waigong. It was, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
It was in the subtitles as waigong.
Excelsior! Well, we didn't get through half of what we meant to.
Oh no. Oh well.
I guess continued next week.
Too bad.
I mean, just as a very quick aside, no, they didn't translate that. And yes, that did strike me as odd. But yeah. Anyway, enough of the 5-minute Marvel. I think that's the show for the week, unless I've missed anything.
No, you haven't missed anything. We haven't missed anything.
So yeah, it's been a nice little show this week. And apologies that the edit was obvious, because before we knew that we were changing the format of the show, that one was...
It probably would be.
Recorded.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so you can find us.
You can find us on... You've set me up here. You've set me up because I keep saying that you forget things. Okay, so you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at TBNJ Podcast. You can find us on Mastodon at TBNJ Podcast on the woof.group instance. If you want to leave us a message, you can potentially be on the show by doing so by going to anchor.fm/TBNJ podcast. And if you want to see where else we are on the internet, go to our link tree, which is the standard link tree URL with the ending of TBNJ podcast. Also, a little bit of announcement, I guess. I will be guesting on the Kinky Boys podcast. Should have gone out last Monday by the time that we record this. By the time that we publish this.
Sweet.
And I'm talking to Craig about how autism and kink interact.
I look forward to that.
it's an interesting show. Like, we got into some like stuff that we don't usually think to talk about, to be honest. And like, it was quite a personal show. Like, I really like how that came out, and I really encourage people to go and listen to that one.
Yeah, Craig is great.
Craig is wonderful. We love Craig. Craig is our favorite bootleg. but yeah, that's the show for the day. Unless I missed one. Did I miss one?
No, you haven't. That's it.
It would be kind of embarrassing with how much I nag you.
Yeah, you even got Linktree, which I had never put in. I'd never say.
But no, thank you very much for joining us this week. We shall be back in a couple of weeks' time.
We'll do.
Goodbye.
Bye.
This episode of the Teabags and Joysticks was edited by TB and J Sai. The intro and outro music is Quarter Conundrum by DOAK, and the soundboard was comprised of royalty-free audio and audio captured from within Red Alert 2, published by Electronic Arts and Westwood Studios. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Space!